Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. You know, as I think back over the years of being a pastor, the question that I think I have been asked more than any other is this one. Maybe not in these words, but to this extent. Isn't it unfair for God to eternally condemn those who have never had the opportunity to hear the gospel? Even the most scripturally minded Christians have often come to me plagued and perplexed by this question. Those troubled Christians are often very unaware that it is Satan who causes us to question God by asking questions. The devil raises questions like these to make God look unfair or reckless in his judgments and to cast doubt on the Bible. But let's consider the question. Is God unfair to condemn sinners who have never heard the gospel? The real questions are, aren't people still sinners even if they never hear the gospel? And aren't their sins still worthy of death and hell? That's what the Bible teaches. And yet there is still so much confusion over this question among Christians today. The question is often raised by Christians who have been taught that they have the free will to make their own spiritual decisions. Theologians have given a name to this. They call it decision theology. When instead of believing that God calls you to faith in Christ by his own gracious will and power, that a person thinks that he must make the decision to accept Jesus into his heart, and that God either accepts or rejects that person based on the decision. Christians who have been taught this tend to think that people are kind of spiritually neutral when it comes to God, at least until they have been given this opportunity to hear the gospel and make their decision for or against Jesus. But is this why God loves us? Is this why God saves us? Because of a decision that we made to believe in him? Is God's choice to save us based simply upon the fact that God somehow knew in advance that we would do something right, that we would choose him by deciding for Christ? Is God going to save you because you have somehow impressed him with your ability to believe when others haven't? This, my friends, turns faith into nothing more than a good work. True faith, however, renounces any such notion that we could ever earn heaven by our works, even realizing that faith is not a work. For faith, like the cross itself, is not our work, but it is the work that God works in us. Faith renounces all of our works and instead looks away from us and trusts in the work that Christ has done on the cross to save us. And so true faith never focuses on itself, but always looks away at Christ. Do you have the free will? Do you have the choice to decide whether you will be God's friend or God's foe? No. As a result of sin, people are not neutral. Sin has made people God's enemies ever since the time of Adam. And that's really the point of our lesson today in Romans 5. And so we must ask the question again. Is it right for God to condemn people who have never had the opportunity before they die to hear the gospel? Now, God might be guilty of something if God were simply sending innocent people to hell, as this question seems to imply. But the truth is, people aren't innocent. People are evil. Romans 5 tells us that death spread from Adam to all men because all have sinned. The choice to rebel against God, to reject God's word, that choice was made long ago in Adam. When Adam fell away from God, the whole human race fell with him. And people have been estranged from God, divorced from God ever since. Because every person has descended from this one man, Adam, every person has not only inherited the guilt of his sin, but the desire to sin, like Adam. Just as if you might inherit a genetically linked disease. Therefore, people aren't neutral. The Bible says, even before people are born, they have chosen evil. They come into the world resenting God, resenting his reign and rule over them, and seeking to break free from his control. No matter what anyone tells you, there is no choice to make. Adam made the choice for us to rebel against God, and we simply repeat that choice as we replicate his sin throughout our lives and until we die. And so we are left without a choice. For unless God chooses to do something about it, one day everyone in this room will die eternally for our treason. Now, when we hear that judgment against ourselves, we immediately think, oh, this is horrible. Can this be true? And is this fair? And then we think, isn't God obligated to save me, whether I believe or not? Doesn't God love me, no matter what I believe, no matter how I live? Many people these days mistake this for the gospel. But it is a false gospel, and the devil is behind it. You see, the devil just wants you to believe that you can choose to believe anything you please, that you can choose to live any way you please, that you can choose to do as you please without any suffering of eternal consequence. And so we wrestle with this and we return to the question, does God owe anyone the opportunity to hear and believe the gospel? And then we hear the scripture's response. As the law reminds us, God owes you nothing. For what have you given to God that God has not first given to you? And what have you earned by your life of sin except the fear of death and hell. And yet today we don't follow the Bible many times as Christians, but we follow our culture. And our culture has come to make us believe that we are entitled to everything, including heaven. Our world has taught us to believe that because we desire it all, we must deserve it all. Because of this false sense of entitlement that we have grown up with, we assume that if God saves anyone, then to be fair, he must save everyone. But my friends in Christ, God is under no such guidelines. God says in the scriptures that he is the God who saves and he is the God who destroys, and he can save and destroy whoever he pleases. If God were to make his choices about us and where we will spend eternity based upon what we deserve, we would have great reason for alarm. For God has both cause and he has the capability of sending his enemies away from him and into the fires of hell. But our text teaches us something much better. Much to our surprise and delight, God holds out and has promised to you better things in the gospel. If we were guessing how God feels about us, we might expect his condemnation. But instead, what we receive is God's unexpected and unconditional love for us sinners. Paul announces in Romans 5 that God did not wait for us to choose him, but Christ chose to die for us even when we were too weak and even when we were too ungodly to want God in our lives. In other words, God does not wait on you to improve your lives. He does not wait on you to atone for your own sins. He does not wait on you to decide for Jesus. He does not wait on you to return to God or to promise to do better in the future. But before any of that, God made his decision to love you and to save you by his son's death on the cross. This text says we were justified by his blood. We were forgiven for our sins, and we were reconciled to God when we were still enemies. And we kind of scratch our heads on this. This just doesn't compute. This isn't the way the world works. Why would God do this? Isn't it unheard of? In most cases, to think that one person would surrender his life for another. Oh, every once in a while, you might find a good person make that sacrifice for another good person. But we must ask ourselves, why would God die for those who hate him? This, my friends, is the great mystery of the gospel. All we know is God didn't have to do what he did. There is no good explanation for why God chose to save you. For Romans says that we were all God's enemies at the time Christ died for us. And so the answer does not lie in us, but somewhere in the amazing and unconditional love of God's heart. And his heart and his love for us sinners has been revealed in the cross. My friends, this is such good news. For if I thought that God loved me because I had done something to please him, because of some good that he had seen in me, I could never be certain of my salvation. For I know me, and I know I would screw it up. My heart is fickle, and my faith and my feelings often fluctuate for God, and they change. And so isn't it much more reassuring in Romans 5 to hear God love us before we loved him? Isn't it much more reassuring to hear Jesus say to you in Scripture, you did not choose me. No, my friends. I chose you. And in the same way, our lesson teaches us that God's love for you, his acceptance of you, his plans to take you to heaven are not based on anything that you have done or any decision that you have made that might please God. That is the great comfort of Romans 5. For it says over and over again that we are unworthy and not the cause of God's love. But it goes on to say that God does love us and that he demonstrated his love for us in Christ before we could ever reciprocate that love. My friends, go and reread that text, for it is good news indeed. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.